Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Boston Red Sox falling on their faces in just about every aspect of the game, they only lose 4-3 to the New York Yankees in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series last night in New York. I get everything I wanted, Fitzy. Drama coming down to the wire.
Who wants a close game, everybody?
I'm even a little bit of a sucker. Lil Gullible Andy, the final pitch of the game. I thought Rafaela had tied it up, putting the ball into the right field seats. He
screamed
did not.
My face off. I was like, he did it. Oh, son of how many SOBs did you drop in the car, the driveway, the man cave last night? It was a bad night.
Oh no.
Shea Fitzy for the swear jar. Like, the kids are going to a really nice college or on vacation next year.
SOBs were the least of my concerns. There were a lot worse things flying out of this body. There was, you just heard it. The number of mistakes that Alex Cora's baseball team made yesterday. You know, we always do this little thing with the Patriots.
Did the Steelers win or did the Patriots lose?
That's what kind of baseball game this was. I don't really think you were beaten by the New York Yankees. You were beaten by the Boston Red Sox. You can put this on Bayo. You can put it on Cora for changing Bayo's catcher. You can certainly put it on Kyle Hudson for somehow seeing a run that should score and it doesn't.
Don't.
Like,
oh my God,
you can even hear it in Will Fleming's voice there. He's like, the ball gets away, and he's thinking, and the run and he's like, wait, why is that guy still over there? Why is Eaton still on
third
base?
Why is the fastest person on our baseball team still standing on third base when he would have had, when he had enough time to score, not once, but twice? Still standing there.
There were goats everywhere for the Red Sox, and not the big G kind, the bad G, the little G kind. Goats everywhere. Mistakes everywhere. Base running mistake, fielding mistake, pitching mistake, and just for good measure, they showed that they're the furthest thing from a small ball team. Remember when we talked about, Alex Cora's thinking ahead in September. He's got them all doing extra bunting practice at Fenway Park on a Tuesday before a regular season game.
Was Rafaela sick that day?
He must have been, because he was sick at the plate last night. That was embarrassing. And
maybe
I don't think it's
gag fever.
I don't think bunting is the easiest thing to do. I'm not one of those. When a guy is throwing like a splitter and it's moving and you don't do it a lot, like, I think that's a tough situation to put a guy in. But you're also a major league player, and you're also a guy that's what they're asking you to do. I'm asking you to do that. Mr. Clutch, Rafaela, do it. But I don't even think that was in the top five of the mistakes the Boston Red Sox made on the way to a 4-3 loss. And now it's there is no tomorrow. Whatever cliche you want to use, you got game three. By game time, 8:08 first pitch, prime time.
Moved it back into prime time because they realized, like, what a slate, by the way, of games today.
I just am glad that I'll be able to watch the game after my two-hour commute home that caused me to miss the entirety of Brian Bayo's outing. Wasn't even close that he was still pitching by the time I pulled in my driveway. But you're right, Fitzy. By the time we see Connelly Early, the baby-faced superstar in the making. Yep, talking him up.
Not even 20 major league innings. By the way, kid, not only are you going to be on the mound in Yankee Stadium, but we're going to put you in the mouth of hell in an elimination game against another rookie. Have at it.
So something I brought up the other day as a point of confidence after the Red Sox took game one was simply 12 series for the wild card, 3-game series, 12 game one winners have gone on to win the series. It's now up to 13. Thanks to your Los Angeles Dodgers, and we will have two more opportunities to see if that holds true this afternoon. We'll see if the Tigers can get the job done and the Cubs can get the job done. Dan Ball has a weird thought on that because Dan Ball wants one of those teams to lose so the Red Sox don't have that pressure or whatever to live up to.
I don't need any more history or data or statistics on the line tonight. I got enough on my plate with Connelly early.
I'm going to sum up last night very simply. The mentality we've been taking with the New England Patriots is the one we need with the Boston Red Sox. Don't lose the game. Don't screw it up. That was early season ineptitude from Alex Cora's baseball team. And I don't know if they're too loose, if they're too tight, you know, which way the screw is wound there. Are they like two Mac Jones and they're wound too tight and they need to loosen up? I don't know. That's on the manager.
But what if they're just the Red Sox, Andy? What
this
if this
is
like...
is just right.
What if, okay.
Good time to bring that back.
Troll.
Big show.
No, yep. Good troll job, Stiz. Also, we need the laughs today since all the B-holes are tighter than freaking Cameron's and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What if this three-game series is to act as microcosm of the entire season? Where it's like, oh my God, the Red Sox came out and they look great. They did everything right the first game. Great pitching, great clutch, everything. Crochet. And then the second game, we're full of confidence. We're chuffed. We're ready. Oh, here's those Red Sox. So now we are in the bowels. Now we are in the depths. We are in the emotional Marianas Trench right now. And we're like, there's no way they can win. How could they possibly do it? And tonight, with spit, glue, grit, resolve, miracles, and maybe a goat turning into a hero, they find a way to redeem themselves. Wouldn't that just be 162 turned into three?
So to set the stage, we are recapping that ugly-ass loss from last night. Just the ugliest. And you heard it in the voice of Will Fleming from early on because your guy Bayo Fitzy was not on his game. We now
My
may
guy,
have found
Bayo.
Out... The Red Sox, if they do advance, may have one starting pitcher when they head to Toronto. One starting pitcher left. Although if they advance, maybe we'll talk ourselves into a Connelly early being another guy in the rotation. But we're going to recap that ugly loss last night at Yankee Stadium. We're going to look ahead to Game 3, must-win situation. How do they get it done? We're going to talk to Tom Curran, 3:30. We're going to talk to Lou Maloney, and I cannot wait to hear the passion in that man's voice at 4:30. We're also going to talk to you, the listener, 617-779-7937. How'd you feel about last night? Who you blaming for there needing to be another game tonight? And how you feeling heading into Game 3? Let's go to the phone lines early and often, Fitzy. Let's go let's fly across the country. Let's go to, we'll stick that one. Let's go to Mike in the car first. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, a couple of things. Obviously, you know, I've been calling all season, and I'm the numbers guy, you know. Everything is numbers, numbers, numbers. But I'll tell you something. Baseball more than any other sport, right, over the entirety of a season, the numbers will bear out the story of what's going to happen. Yes, exactly. But here's my thing, all right, and this comes back to Cora and how it relates to numbers. Just give me a little bit of leeway. Real quick, all season we've been saying, you know, they need to play small ball. They need to do this, they need to do that. And it's the consistent response has been, we're going to do what we do. We're going to follow the formula. We're going to follow what the computers say and let the chips fall as they may. All right. So now it started really in game one, bringing Chapman in for four outs, something that he was only asked to do one time all season, and that one time resulted in a home run and a blown save. He only had three blown saves in the entire year, and one of those came the only time he was asked to go four innings. What do? You ask him to go four innings, and he almost blows the save. Three straight singles, and he tap dances his way out of it. All right, then, all year we've been saying, bunt, small ball, extra innings, small ball, why aren't they bunting? Okay, so they haven't bunted all year, then all of a sudden you throw it out there, huge spot in the seventh inning, let's have a guy bunt who's in the slump. And last but not least, Garrett Whitlock, all season, he's got a 2.25 ERA. This is the numbers thing. 2.25 ERA is a really good ERA, except in games where he's had to pitch more than one inning, that goes up to 3.58, a full run at plus more. 3.58 is not bad, but it still shows that he is not effective when you have him coming in for two innings. And what do? You bring him in for two innings. So it's like you have this book all season, and then you just throw it out the window.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
So that's a great call, Mike.
Attaboy, Mike.
Yes, the BrezBot even agrees. You follow the numbers in baseball over 162, and it plays out in the long run. And yes, I think I would include in there all season, for essentially. Uh-huh. You've used Connor Wong as Brian Bayo's catcher. And then with the season on the line, you don't use Connor Wong as Brian Bayo's catcher. And this is not second-guessing from me. If you recall yesterday, after we talked to Alex Cora, that was one of my takeaways. I don't love the idea. I didn't think the advantage of Narvaez, and Narvaez did nothing to really help you win that game offensively last night. And you can't prove one way or the other whether Bayo was affected by not having Wong back there, but he had a terrible outing, and he's afraid to throw his changeup, and his velocity's dead. Like, there's all these issues with Brian Bayo. You could have taken one issue away by putting the guy out there with him that he is comfortable with. And the bunting thing, I agree. Like, you're a major leaguer, you should be able to bunt, but this team doesn't really bunt. Ted Johnson's been saying all year, play small ball. They kind of got out small balled, right? The Yankees score the run first, scoring from first, like just playing. Yeah. They didn't hit bombs out of the ballpark, and that's kind of concerning to me, Fitzy, too, is the Yankees haven't really shown up to the point where, you know, Judge, how many home runs does he have in this series?
Come on.
How many does Stanton have?
Andy, you don't stand backstage and go, boy, this play's been going great. You know, Macbeth. You don't talk about a no-hitter in the dugout when it's 6-7 innings in. Come on. Let's not do that.
Just telling you.
I understand you're just saying it as well. And, yeah, look, we can play the revisionist historian game all we want, and we can go back and sit in our diaper of sad over all the mistakes that they made. Don't we want to, like... Nah, it's too early. I'm a masshole. I feel like bitching about it as well. I hated the fact that they tried to bunt there. Not only did they bunt, as I learned this on the internet, and it was reconfirmed by the Jones and Keefe show, over 6,000 at-bats, plates appearances a season, they bunted 13 times. Yeah. This team doesn't bunt. They can't bunt. And why would you have one of your most undisciplined hitters, fast as he may be, faster than, grease lightning, why would you have him bunt? You saw that effort. He literally went out there like with a pickleball racket and just popped it up to that pitcher that I want fired into the sun. That made me scream so loud at dinner that it startled people.
It wasn't the first attempt. He fouled off the first attempt. Right there, I think I might have said, okay, wipe that off. Just let him hit. And it's a guy that does have a little flair for drama. Also a guy coming off a game in which he may have had the greatest at-bat of his career to draw a walk after going down 0-2. So maybe that builds some confidence for him in a clutch situation. So the execution was horrible, though. And that's where I go back to. They didn't execute in anything. You can bitch about Cora, blame Cora all you want, and there will be people that do that. We'll see how tonight plays out if they're really doing that heading into the offseason. But you also just had a left fielder who everybody Fitzy tells me is a very good defensive outfielder, correct? Jaron Duran, very good. No. What is he before last night? People would tell you he's a very good defensive outfielder. Is that
not? Yeah, he's a good fielder.
Yeah.
It
was a ball that, you know.
You could have caught it.
Any of us, Stiz could have caught it. Whoever the least athletic person on this show is could have caught it. I said whoever. Could be Brian. Could be Dan.
You saw me on the BC football field.
Yeah, that's why I brought you up.
Stiz. Okay.
But yes, that ball has to be caught. And even with all that said, any one of these play out differently, I think you win the baseball game. And certainly, Nate Eaton on second base with two outs, Yoshida's ground ball. How does he not score on that? And I heard Will Middlebrooks say he made the right decision. I think Will Middlebrooks is talking about when he stopped and then could have started to go again. I think he's saying that was the right decision. Because I do think once he stopped, if he started to go again after the ball got loose, he probably does get thrown out at the plate. But if he's running hard, he scores with ease. And I don't get the argument for stopping him. I don't get the argument for how you don't score. If the ground ball towards second base up the middle is fielded cleanly, right? Fielded cleanly, throw to first. Uh-huh. It's the final out of the inning, right? So you can't.
You've got Yoshida by a mile,
right? And Yoshida, not exactly a speed burner, right? You're not expecting Yoshida to beat that out necessarily. So you can't get a fourth out at the plate if you're running full speed and just round third and keep right on going. And he's thrown out at first. Okay, you run into the dugout. You get your glove. We change innings. Okay. What if the ball is hit up the middle and there's a tough play, hypothetically or realistically as there was, right? That makes a difficult play. I don't think a diving second baseman is getting up and trying to throw to the plate and mow you down at the plate. He's throwing to first, but it's a tough play, right?
Not when it's your fastest runner. No, that's not happening. Yeah.
So he throws to first, and like this situation, he makes a bad throw and the ball bounces away. That makes a really difficult play for the first baseman to get the ball. So the only way I think you get thrown out at the plate, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's another option, and I'll put it out to the callers too, Dan Ball, anybody else. The only way you get thrown out to the plate at the plate is if Yoshida beats out the ground ball, right? Standing up, clean throw, he just flat out beats it out.
There's zero chance Jazz Chisholm in trying to field that ball miraculously, and it's a hell of a play with some range. When he stands up, the first thing he's thinking is, oh, it's Masataka Yoshida.
Right.
Adorable as his little pocket-style perfect form run is, I'm going to get him at first. He's not looking to home because you don't have to worry about it. If that run scores before a force out, it doesn't count. If you were to throw to another base, it could potentially count. But there's 0.0% chance Jazz Chisholm is going to try to throw home. Correct.
Yeah, so I don't understand. There's literally a very slight chance you're getting thrown out at home in any situation. So as soon as that ball is hit, and I know people want to blame Hudson, and he's part of this, but as soon as that ball is hit, I think Eaton has to be thinking, I'm crossing home plate. Whether it counts or not, I'll find out later. But I'm crossing home plate. That is my job on this. I'm running as fast as I can with the tightest turnaround third that I possibly can. And a baseball team that Alex Cora just told us is a little bit small ball built, right? Base to base, hits this, timely hitting, runners in scoring, all those things should have scored there. And you may win the game if you score there. Now, again, it's not the only one-off. And I know Alex Cora got defensive a little bit last night, and I get it. I think he's defending his guy, Kyle Hudson, Huddy.
He's in a mood because he can't, because, like, you know, he took so many bullets for his team last night, Andy. And I do admire there's nobility in saying, hey, listen, if you want to talk about what went, yeah, it's the classic example, right? If things go right, praise the players. If things go wrong, blame me. So he took the heat.
Sure. But I also think he's taking the heat for his third base coach who got in the way and threw the brakes on and then tried to, and then kind of freaked out and then was like, go, like it was just chaos over there. But if Eaton is running full speed from the crack of the bat, he scores there. And I think today we're talking about how well the Red Sox are going to do in Toronto. 617-779-7937. Squeeze in another phone call. Let's go up to Tom in New Hampshire. What's up, Tom? Tom?
Hello, Tom.
Nope. Ground Tom control. Gone. How about we go to Pauly in Dedham? What's up, Pauly?
Here we go.
You know, Doreen, I played a ton of outfield in my life, okay?
Brag.
And it was like a circus show out in center field, okay? I would have had that ball. I would have caught that ball with Durant drop. And I'll tell you what you do, your technique is to, you know, you're going to be ended up on the ground anyway. You have to catch that ball. You got to leave your feet. Because there's a certain amount of like rumbling as you're running hard for a ball, and it takes it causes a bit of a vibration, and it just can throw you off sync. You have to catch that ball. You've got to leave your feet.
Thanks for the call, Pauly. I don't agree you have to leave your feet, and that was actually part of the excuse. And we'll hear from Jaron Duran a little later in the show with his explanation.
Have to leave your feet?
You don't have to leave your feet, and I think that's what screwed him. He thought he was going to have to leave his feet, and then he got there in an effort enough to not leave his feet and got caught in between, and the ball bounced off his glove, and here we are. Yes, Dan Ball.
I would also argue that he left his feet the wrong direction. If he slides feet first, that ball is still chest to eyes high, and you make that relatively easily.
This is something we've tracked all year, that him running to his right has not been good.
Yes.
In left field.
Yeah,
him running to his right in left field has been an issue for him. We thought maybe some of it had to do with the little tight, narrow, foul territory at Fenway Park. Obviously, that's not the case in this situation. You're not at Fenway. You weren't near the wall. None of that was an issue. But he's just not good. The one thing I will say is I give him a ton of credit. You know, I heard Rich Keefe say, well, what's he going to say? I don't know. I listened to Devontae Parker a couple of years ago when a ball hit him in the hands talk about how, oh, it didn't really hit my palms. It only hit my fingertips, and I couldn't really. Like, guys make excuses. Or he could have pantomimed like freaking Shador Sanders in Cleveland. He could have done whatever. He was a man, and he stood up, and he said, I cost us the game. This is on me. What I want to get into after the break, though, is that good or bad for Jaron Duran's performance tonight? He's motivated. He's in his head. He's got something to prove, and he might be back in the leadoff spot with something to prove. And our guy Ted Johnson has some concerns and questions about that. But Jaron Duran, he may very well have cost you the game. He took accountability at his locker. What are you expecting from Jaron Duran tonight? We'll continue to recap last night's loss and play the blame game. Plenty of blame pie to go around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jarren Duran is a stand-up guy in front of his locker. Had he been a stand-up guy in left field, he might have caught the ball. Not in this economy. Red Sox lose 4-3, Yankee Stadium. Not the only mistake of the night, but certainly one of the bigger ones, as was Nate Eaton's inability to score from second on an infield hit from my guy, Yoshida. Kyle Hudson also involved there because, yes, the ball is behind Nate Eaton. But I think if you leave with every intention of scoring, Fitzy, it's hard to stop you there. And you maybe you're even a little quicker to third. There's less reason. Although, I don't really have a good reason that Kyle Hudson got in the way there and stopped Nate Eaton. Like, I don't really have any idea what he's doing. You know,
just
I know.
Just yell go when he's the yes. second Jazz Chisholm.
Wave him in, Wendell Kim.
Yeah, God, I can't believe that I was literally opining for the days of Send Him In Kim last night. But you have to. The second Jazz Chisholm, with runs at a premium, do not play, oh, never run into the third out, bro. Or like, hey, you got to give Trevor Story a chance to almost hit a grand slam to dead center. Get to that in a sec. No, you have a chance with your fastest player to make a play and dare somebody behind second base to have to throw a 123-foot dart to get out a guy that can go from just down the third baseline to home in a little over 3 seconds. You have to throttle down there. And then also, by the way, what is the name of the reliever? Rodriguez, the guy.
Cruz.
That, was, what's that?
The guy, Fernando yes. Cruz, who everybody wants to hate now.
No. When you give up, like when Trevor Story then comes up and almost hits a grand slam off you to dead center, doing a haka on the sidelines there or just past the first baseline, I get it. You want to pump the crowd up. It's an emotional moment. You're an emotional guy, but maybe dial it down a notch.
Yeah, I saw Rich Keefe wanted to punch him in the face, and there were a lot of people that hate on him. I don't know. I kind of like emotion out of my relievers. Better than the puddle of goo that Whitlock was when he left the mound. Boy, did he look like a beaten and defeated man when he was out there struggling.
That sucked. I mean, first of all, on the batter that, who was it? Chisholm got the first hit, and then it's, was it Phelps or whatever his name, who got the Austin Nelson,
Wells.
Austin Wilson. Well, yeah.
How
Austin
many
Wells,
names
whatever.
You going to throw out in one segment?
As many as I feel like to get there.
Get some right.
Whatever. Who cares? All right. The guy with the mustache that hit it down the third base, first base line. First of all, it should have been strike three on Chisholm. Like the guy, like that should have been four strikes in that at bat, not just three strikes. He got pinched. That sucks. He definitely looked like a beaten man. Threw almost 50 pitches last night.
Oh, he was a beaten man. 617-779-7937. Real quick before we get back to your phone calls. Good news out of the Twitter poll. At Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons. Red Sox fans seemingly remaining optimistic. I had a simple question. Who wins Wild Card Game 3 tonight in New York? 68% of Red Sox fans say it'll be the Red Sox, Dan Ball.
Seems like an objective crew, you know?
I mean, I'm sure I have some Yankees fans on my timeline.
You think so?
Red Sox haters. I mean, there's 32% voting for the Yankees right now. I don't know if those are negative Red Sox people or maybe some. Or you could also convert, like Schlittler. Schlittler's whole family was a Red Sox family till he went over there. They all converted, which I see.
He's a Walpole guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he calls himself a Boston guy, but yes, he's a Walpole guy. And I see people giving him a hard time for that. Like, I'd be rooting for my son and his team too. If my son was the starting pitcher in Game 3 with the season on the line for the New York Yankees, I would be saying, go Yankees, go. I'd have pinstripes on. Hell yeah. Sorry, blood over Jersey. Blood over where I grew up.
But also, this family, in a lot of ways, think about it. Like, they've kind of got a best-case scenario, unless, of course, Cam Schlittler does what we're all hoping for, which is gives up 9 runs in the first inning. If he goes out there, pitches well, and he gets to leave the mound like with his head held high, like, hey, man, I stood up to my childhood team in a playoff situation in my first postseason start. But then the Sox win. It's like, hey, our boy is covered in glory. And also the Sox advanced.
Yeah. So if he has like a Weissert, if Schlittler leaves in the seventh inning with like 2 guys on and a 1-run lead.
If he gets Weisserted, yes.
Then his family can actually cheer and be happy on both sides.
Are you kidding me?
Perfect. Ah, they're going straight to the steakhouse afterwards.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Jordan. I was going to say Jordan because I had Jordan on the mind because it's in the Cape, but Jordan in the Cape. What's up?
Yeah, so you got Slizzler and you got Early pitching tonight.
Yep.
And Early has not pitched in any games for the Red Sox or any other team. You've got Slizzler, who's, I believe, 1-1, I think.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. The hell was he talking about?
What the hell was that?
I think he hit the schnapps a little early for the Schlittler start.
He may have hit the Schitzler a little bit early there.
Okay, he needs to be careful over there. Quinn Early has pitched. Connolly Early. Damn it!
My God,
see,
were you drinking with him?
The NFL trap, too. It's going to happen more than five times today, so steer into it.
Connolly Early has pitched for less than 30 days. He's trying to be the first person ever to take the mound in a season-deciding game less than 30 days after his Major League debut. And Schlittler has been a rookie pitcher for the Yankees all year. So, yes, it's a youthful matchup. It's one of the questions I want to get to with Lou Maloney when we talk to him at 4:30. Everywhere you look, there's not enough pitchers to go around. It's reminding me of offensive lines in the NFL. Like, all these teams are like, I don't have any offensive linemen. Do you have any offense? Nobody has tackles. Nobody has a good offensive line. Nobody has a pitching staff that can make it through a three-game series. We're not
what
even.
Happened?
I don't know. I don't know if
what
it's
happened?
The
we used to have all these guys.
Or...
I got six aces. I got four stars. Like, who am I going to start in game three? Bayo couldn't even make it through two, three innings last night. Giolito's not pitching the rest of the year. Now you're calling up a 23-year-old with 19 2/3 professional innings under his very tight belt. It's nuts. It's also, Andy, spectacular theater. I mean, this is as dramatic, as tense, as wound up. And all, my God, all of this is taking place on October 2nd, the 47th anniversary of Bucky Dent Day. Like, how much greater can this get? How much higher can the stakes get for a wild card round?
And we also have the stakes of the WEEI Afternoons question being answered that we threw out there, what was it, about a month ago, Dan Ball? When we
how
said,
many wins in October?
It might be zero for the Red Sox if they don't take care of business tonight.
No. That was the technicality that we discussed at the time. The first game was September 30th. Do they win game one and lose the next two?
And the way we feel about the Patriots, people are penciling in three. I mean, hell, they're getting hopes that you could sweep the month of October, and the Red Sox could limp into the offseason with 0.0 wins in the month of October. 617-779-7937. We heard from Jaron Duran coming back from break. He took accountability. He put the loss on himself, as he should, but he wasn't the only one. There was plenty to go around. Let's go to Dan in the car. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was calling in because I had a thought of if we're trying to put the best lineup out there for the Sox to win last night, shouldn't Connor Wong have been behind the catching since he's Bayo's starting catcher and he had his best success with him during the year?
Thanks for the call, Dan. I don't know. You asked an interesting question. Best lineup? The way you phrased it, Dan, was lineup. If you're putting your best lineup out there, then Narvaez is in your best lineup. If you're putting your best team out there and weighting it a little more towards the battery and the comfort of the starting pitcher, then you can make an argument for Connor Wong. I actually asked manager Alex Cora this very question here yesterday. With Bayo on the mound and obviously a very strong history, not only this season but against the Yankees, any concern there with how the alteration of the catcher, the battery there, do you fear that disrupts anything with him?
No, I lived this in 18 with Sandy Leon and Rick Porcello coming to New York, and we decided to catch Christian Vasquez. So I just feel like, you know, we need Narvi's bat in the lineup. He's one of the best defenders in the big league, so he'll be okay.
I kind of brushed over that answer at the time. Oh, yeah, you've experienced this. You've been through that. Like, what the hell does one have to do with the other? What?
Not much.
What
not
is,
much.
What does Rick Porcello's mindset, comfort have to do with Bayo? Bayo is the person that matters here, right? This has nothing to, like, those two aren't the same. And Bayo is a guy, relatively young still, who's had relative issues, I guess, with maturity. I hear Will Middlebrooks talk about how much he feels like he's matured as this season's gone along, which is obviously an implication that you needed to mature. Some of your success is coming from maturing. So what you did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, not to go all Belichickian, but, you know, what happened last week, last month, last year, is not germane to this situation. All that matters is, do you think that Brian Baio can handle it if you jerk around the way he goes about his business? And that's what you did. Whether you want to like it or not, whether you believe it had any factor into him pitching, Dan Ball, 28 pitches? Was that the number?
That was the number.
28 pitches.
And that's, looking into that, that's not a lot for a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Did you look that up?
Yeah.
Did you look that up? How did you Google that?
Are you out of your mind?
ChatGPT that? ChatGPT is 28 pitches a lot for a starting pitcher? No, it is not, Ted.
Average pitches for starting pitcher. Oh, my God, that's not a lot.
So, that's not even really like an opener. Some openers go longer over like an inning and two thirds, but he's a legitimate starter, opener.
Yeah, he's a legit starter who, Fitzy, the number we kept throwing around yesterday, two starts at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. I believe it was 14 innings and zero runs allowed. I believe he threw more than 28 pitches in each of those games to get through seven innings. And now?
We predicted also, Andy, that he was going to make it through the order twice.
The flip side of that is, now I'm starting to just wonder, and again, speaking of basing things on nothing that has really any direct connection to them, Lucas Giolito struggled down the stretch. Lucas Giolito, we found out, was dealing with an elbow issue. Lucas Giolito can't pitch anymore. Mm. Brian Baio struggled down the stretch. Any chance he's dealing with something and we just don't know it? And that could also play into the quick hook, some arm fatigue, some elbow fatigue, something going on physically that's limiting his ability?
Yes, and that sounds like a Friday problem because he will not be on the mound tonight, so I'll worry about that tomorrow if we actually have a tomorrow. That's why you called up the Woo Sox. That's why you have Toley and Harrison and Early. Like, the kids are you know what? Andy, we should live in a world where we're worrying tomorrow and Saturday about, like, which Woo Sox call-up is going to start against the Blue Jays on Saturday or Sunday.
I hope we are worrying about that. I hope we are dealing with that. I hope we are wondering, after Crochet, who the hell are you going to pitch against the Blue Jays? But first things first, we are breaking down last night's painful, ugly, unfortunate loss in New York. 4-3, Yankees take the win, forcing Game 3 today. It is your guy, Connelly Early, the young gun on the mound against their guy, Schlittler, in a winner goes on, loser goes home, and loser's city spends the next, I don't know, 5 days at the very least, bitching about why they lost and what big changes need to come in the offseason. We'll continue to talk about it. Take your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That's all next on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Cora, a little defensive there.
There was some tone there.
Definitely some tone there. He also never said they were wrong. He just said that's their opinion. They're not down with us. That's easy to say. He never said anywhere in there that they're wrong. He never said that he couldn't have scored because he could have scored, should have scored, and would have scored.
On the broadcast, they said, what was that, Middlebrooks, I believe, said that he would have been out.
So I need to clarify with Lou on that. I think Will can't believe if he was running and waved in that he would have been out, because he wouldn't. There's no way he's out. I think Will is talking about once he stopped and then Huddy kind of started to send him again. I think that's what he's referencing. And you probably would get thrown out there. You probably would get thrown out at that point. It's too late. You already screwed the pooch. You already messed up your opportunity to win the game and score the run.
That's the right call, staying at third base. If he goes, he's out.
Yeah, the way that it was postured, you're right. Like, you know, that's their opinion. Okay, Alex, what's yours? Oh, he would have scored.
Right. See, their opinion was way up there. Mine was over here in this dugout. I agreed with them. I was just telling you that's their opinion.
That's why a journalist has to... Yeah, follow-up question, Your Honor.
Got to be very specific with your questions, or sometimes these coaches take little loopholes, little outs that they can get. We learned that over the years with Bill Belichick. But Fitzy, I never asked you, so are we putting the biggest onus of the loss on Kyle Hudson, Nate Eaton, Brian Baio, Alex Cora, Rafaela, or
oh my God.
Durant?
Six?
Yeah, wait, Twitter doesn't let me do those polls.
Wow. Man, I usually get, that's why maybe the X only allows for four.
Yeah. Before you answer, shouldn't they all be candidates for the question?
I would have probably put them at Kyle Hudson, Jaren Duran, Sedan Ref. No, I wouldn't even have done Sedan Rafael. I would have done whoever did it. I would have probably done Cora. And Bayo. And I would probably say, I hate to say it, but it kind of goes on the Nate Eaton, Kyle Hudson thing. Sorry, you got to score. You have to. You just absolutely, like, because the situation is what it is in this moment in time. Like, there you are. Like, there's no other choice. Like, you either score here and try to put the team up, or you play safe and give yourself a chance to maybe score when a run is at that point now 78 feet in front of your face.
So we have some really interesting texts coming in. And as always, 617-779-7937 is the way to call the show. Get on air, as Jordan from the Cape did when he said that Connelly Early has never pitched before.
Don't drink and call, folks.
Yeah, please don't. Wait till the game starts to drink.
Wait
till
8:08 to crack.
Absolutely.
Well, you can pregame at 7 or something.
Well, not if I'm still in the car. That's frowned upon in many
states,
including this
tonight.
One.
You'll be fine.
So 617 throws something out there. At first, I thought it was an idiotic text, and now I think it's somebody with a hot take. Bayo pitches tonight. Dan Ball. Bayo pitches tonight.
No.
No?
Nope.
Just flat out no chance.
Unless you go 15 innings.
Hey,
Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah.
We can't get an answer from the manager tonight, but we should ask. I'll make this my first question to Lou. I've texted with him about it, but I really now want to hear the full explanation. Is everybody save for Whitlock available tonight? Because I think the answer should be yes.
Oh,
including Crochet. Including, I don't care if you got three outs from Crochet. Whatever you're going to do.
I wouldn't pitch Crochet, but the manager last night said everybody, and he didn't rule out Whitlock. He said, we'll see how he bounces back. We'll talk, blah, blah, blah. He had like some words mixed around it, but he didn't even rule out Whitlock. I think Bayo is in the mix. I don't know why you'd have any confidence in doing that or need to do that. Like, even last night, we saw Peyton Tolley for one pitch. I mean, for one out. Okay, so he got the out. And you know what? He seemed pretty fired up. Worst case scenario, am I putting Peyton Tolley on the mound or Brian Bayo? Tolley, and it's not even close. Now, he may give up.
Yeah, because he can still throw 100.
Yeah, and he may give up a 113-mile-an-hour exit velocity home run, but
I'll take that chance, damn it.
I'll take that chance. Yes, Dan Ball?
I think your guy to watch if Early doesn't have a lot of length tonight is Kyle Harrison. He's the other starter-adjacent pitcher that you have that has the ability to eat up a couple innings. So if he goes, same deal, 2 1/3, 2 2/3,
what?
You bring in a short leverage or short length reliever to get through that inning, and then Harrison starts your fourth.
I think there's a big chance that he pitches tonight.
Yeah,
I think there's a very good chance.
Kind of like a 1A and 1B.
I would bet money on it as well. And the opportunity that Connelly Early has in front of him tonight, same thing can be said for old Schlittler as well, pride of Walpole, but the opportunity Early has to have been somebody we didn't even know the freaking name of a month ago, to now come in and be a postseason hero for Red Sox in the greatest rivalry in sports? Come on now.
So the other text that caught my eye from the 603, you guys do realize one more foot on that story hit and we have a different conversation? Yeah, that's how sports work. I mean, and Adam Vinatieri misses a snowball kick and there's no dynasty. And Scott Norwood doesn't hit the upright or go wide left. Like, and that's how sports work. Like, if something different happened, we would have a different conversation. History would be different. We'd be talking about teams and players differently. Yes, we understand that if Rafaela had done what I thought he did and put that ball into the bleachers, we might be having a different conversation. There's a lot of those out there. And then there's also the same ones that we've been talking about. If Jaren Duran catches the ball, we might be having a different conversation. If Connor Wong catches, I'm not feeling great that we would have been having a different conversation in that realm. As much as I bring it up, I think Bayo was not ready for the moment. And I don't know whether it's physically or mentally. And Lou Maloney will answer some of this. Lou really fixated on the broadcast because, as I mentioned, I listened to the entirety of the 28 pitches from Brian Bayo on WEEI with Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Maloney. And Lou was like, how come he doesn't throw his changeup anymore? That's how he dominated the Yankees. Changeup, changeup, changeup. He doesn't throw his changeup anymore. 25% changeups in one of those outings against the Yankees. He was recently down to like 4%, 7%. What happened to his faith in his changeup? And I don't think that can be a physical thing. He just lost confidence in it, lost control of it, lost touch of it. But I think that's one of those. But yes, Texter. If something different, if then, isn't that how computers work? If then, isn't that how like programming works? If then, if something happens, then the result is this. If something different happens, the result is that.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
And we talk about it on the radio. That's how we react. But guess what? Did Story hit a home run?
He did not, actually. He hit a real deep fly, but he did not hit a home run.
Great. Do you get credit for, quote, real deep flies? Do they give you a run for that? Are they like beauty points, excitement points for real deep flies?
In certain fantasy leagues, I think they give you deep fly credit.
Good Lord, people. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to break down this ugly, ugly loss for the Boston Red Sox in Game 2 at Yankee Stadium, forcing a season on the line. Game 3 tonight, Connelly Early versus Schlittler for the Yankees. Two young guns with their historic franchises seasons on the line tonight, right here on WEEI, 808 First Pitch. Up next, it's time for the three-point stance. The big guy is in the house, and Fitzy is going to bitch about a quarterback. But it's not the Patriots quarterback. That's next at three-point stances.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.